America was founded on the principle that God has endowed us with our rights, and the first of these is the right to life. But in the last half century, abortion has significantly undermined the right to life. Recently, abortion pills have superseded the amount of surgical abortions. We know that abortions of any kind are fatal to the babies, but what about to women? Is abortion safe for women? Dr. Ingrid Skop is a practicing OBGYN and vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. In articles and interviews, she's warning about the risks of abortion drugs commonly used today. Dr. Skop, it's great to have you on the program. I should say my name is Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and it's great to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm so glad to be back with you.
Sure. And tell us, before we get started into the meat of this issue, what is the Charlotte Lozier Institute?
Thank you for asking. It's a wonderful organization that is the research arm of Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America. And our mission is science and statistics that support life positions. So the good news is science is on our side. We have quite a bit of information on our website, LozierInstitute.org, that is very well referenced. So it'll help people to understand what's going on and also to be able to make convincing arguments for their friends about how abortion is harmful to women.
Now, the Biden administration and people on the left that are very supportive of abortion, they will often use the phrase, trust the science. But what does the science show us as far as abortion?
Well, the science, it is important to understand that in our country, there is no mandatory reporting about abortion. We don't really know how many abortions occur, what complications occur after them, and we don't know about maternal mortality following abortion because that data is very limited. Many, many women who have abortions are lost to follow-up. Often women don't want to talk about, you know, any ill effects that they've had from their abortion. So in order to get more accurate scientific data, we have looked to some of the European countries that have that can do records linkage. They can tell us all the abortions, and then they can tell us what subsequent complications happen, and they can tell us about maternal deaths that happen after abortion. And consistently, we see far more complications than the American abortion industry tells us. Regarding chemical abortions, somewhere between 5 and 8% of women will require surgery because their body cannot get rid of all of the tissue. When we look at maternal mortality, we see that all-cause mortality is about 2 to 4 times higher in the year following an abortion than if the woman had given birth to the child. And we see mental health consequences even higher than that, 6 times the risk of suicide after an abortion compared to giving birth.
That is amazing what you're saying, because we're often told that actually having an abortion is safer than bringing a baby to full term, giving birth.
They say that because they know that not all of the deaths are recorded, and so they leverage the lack of information in our country to make misleading claims about abortion. So this is obviously very dishonest. Regarding chemical abortion, your viewers may have heard that chemical abortion is safer than Tylenol. And of course, this is absolutely incorrect. But it leads women into taking a chemical abortion, thinking no big deal. And then when they are the 120 women who has a serious complication ends up in the emergency room within a month or requires emergent surgery, they're surprised. They don't go back to the abortion provider because they know they've been misled. And that's part of the reason that the data is so difficult to come by. We were able to demonstrate that 60% of the time when those women come to an emergency room, it is miscoded as having been due to a miscarriage. So again, just another demonstration of how poor quality the data is.
Is it possible that word on the street, so to speak, in other words, women who've experienced the sufferings from this could then, through word of mouth, tell others, hey, listen, you know, chemical abortions are being touted as this great thing, but in reality, there are risks and complications, but they didn't tell us about that. In other words, that could be there could be a backlash once the truth gets out?
Well, I certainly hope that women are starting to tell others. What I have experienced, I'm an obstetrician in Texas, and of course we have strong laws that protect unborn, but I'm still caring for women who are suffering complications from abortions that they've obtained in other states. And often women will tell me, you know, if I ask them if they want to complain or, you know, file a malpractice lawsuit. They say, no, I don't want anyone to know about this. Perhaps they say, I think this is what I deserve for making this decision. So the sad thing is the women keep it to themselves, even though in many cases they've suffered devastating emotional and sometimes physical complications from their abortions.
Now, you as an OBGYN, have you had to kind of, in effect, do cleanup in the wake of some of these abortions, chemical or otherwise? And what's that been like?
Yes, I have. And this is why I speak out so much on the issue, because I love my unborn patient, but I also love the women. And I've just seen how many ways these women are hurt regarding chemical abortions. Sometimes they have an immediate hemorrhage that requires surgery. Sometimes they have a prolonged course. I cared for one woman recently who bled every day for 2 months. You know that she just kept thinking, well, maybe it'll be better tomorrow. Maybe it'll be better tomorrow. But as it turned out, she had dead tissue in her uterus that entire time that required surgery. And I think we can all recognize that's not good. I mean, that can lead her to increased risk of infection, perhaps infertility in the future because of the scarring that might occur. I've cared for many women who fell into abortion in crisis, and yet they didn't realize many times that there were other options available, that there were crisis pregnancy centers that could offer emotional, material, sometimes financial support. Many, many women say they would carry their baby if they just had support, if they had resources. But so these women, of course, regret the decision that they've made. And I've cared for women who've had devastating physical complications from surgical abortions as well. In fact, I know of two women who died following abortion complications. And I did not know how poor our data collection system was. I wonder if they were ever recognized by the CDC as having died from an abortion.
Wow. Now, do you find more complications from chemical abortions or surgical, or it's about the same?
No, absolutely. There are far more complications from chemical abortion. So again, when we look to those high quality data from European studies, we see that there are 4 times as many complications after a chemical abortion. I should back up just in case people are not aware. Chemical abortion is 2 drugs. Mifepristone blocks progesterone, so it cuts off the hormonal support and kills the embryo, and it's followed 24 hours later by misoprostol that essentially induces labor to extrude the pregnancy tissue. But in many cases, it doesn't get rid of all the tissue, particularly if the woman uses it at a higher gestational age. It should be noted that right now the FDA has taken away all in-person supervision, so women can get these pills ordered over the internet, delivered in the mail without any medical supervision, no ultrasound to document gestational age or to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy, no labs to prevent future pregnancy complications such as Rh sensitivity if a woman needs a Rogam shot. There's not verification that that the person ordering the drugs is even a woman who wants an abortion. And so we know that there's going to be abuse and misuse and unwanted and coerced abortions because they're so easy to come by.
This sounds like a nightmare that you know, the left is not willing to acknowledge that it exists.
It is a nightmare, and unfortunately, the media are covering it up, and also, unfortunately, many of the medical organizations in our country are pro-choice, and they're willing to not acknowledge this danger to women in the name of promoting abortion. Women are being steered into it. Again, they're being told it's natural and they can have it in the comfort of their own home and it's safer than Tylenol. In the last year measured 2020, it accounted for more than half of the abortions, over 500,000 abortions in our country. But again, good data tells us 1 out of 20 women ends up in an emergency room. Approximately the same number end up requiring surgery because their bodies can't get rid of all the tissue. So it's a very, and it lasts so long, and 40% describe the pain as severe. And I'm sorry to say that many women will see their child's body in the toilet. He's clearly identifiable as a human being by about 10 weeks gestation, and they're seeing this. But again, they're not talking about it. And so more and more women are falling into this trap of chemical abortion.
Oh my goodness. Now, I understand that there is an abortionpillreversal.com, but that's after the first pill. The first pill is the one that's the big whammy, right? That's the one that basically kills the baby, correct? Or tell us about this.
Yeah, so mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors. And so it is scientifically supported that if a woman regrets her decision, which believe me, a lot of women do, perhaps because they're coerced into the abortion in the abortion clinic, and then they get free of the clinic and then they say, what have I done? Let me try to reverse this. So through that hotline, they can reach a doctor who will prescribe high dose progesterone. And so it can compete for the receptors and possibly continue to allow the baby to live. It works about 2/3 of the time, whereas if she did nothing, the majority of those babies would die. But, you know, again, the pro-choice medical organizations are working hard to try to paint that as dangerous. And they say it's unethical to try to save a baby's life. And unfortunately, some of the states are going along with this. Colorado now has a law that makes it illegal for a doctor to try to protect that baby by giving the mother progesterone. So it's a real battle.
Now, you mentioned a psychological impact of abortion on women who choose abortion, and you said that there's even suicides in some cases, or attempted suicide or whatever, but that would be true for all kinds of abortions, chemical or otherwise, correct? And why don't you elaborate on this? Because this is, again, something the media doesn't tell us about.
Right. So the six-time suicide that I mentioned is for all abortions. It was in the country of Finland. But, you know, again, there's something especially awful about chemical abortions, because these women are self-managing their own abortion rather than going in and closing their eyes and waking up and they're done. They're going through this process of labor. They're seeing many times their child's body. So we know that that's likely to just be so much worse. But many women, again, it's a decision they fall into in crisis, but they have the rest of their life to say, I ended the life of my child. And that's very, very difficult on these women. At Charlotte Lozier, we just recently published, actually, I think it was published maybe a day or so ago, a paper that looked at the utilization of mental health services, both before and after an abortion, compared to before and after childbirth. And we discovered that outpatient treatment and inpatient treatment were both less in the aborted women, but much more significantly utilized after the abortion. So often it is said that if women had mental health complications, it's because of their life circumstances and not from the abortion. But our study proved definitively
that the other is the case. Thank you so much. We're out of time. Dr. Ingrid Skop, thank you so much, doctor.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure, Jerry.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now. I'm going to give the website. It's LozierInstitute.org. Lozier is spelled L-O-Z-I-E-R. Dr. Ingrid Skop.